Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We had Jeff, and he just dropped, so we'll get him right back on the line. But, you know, Charlie and I were talking about the national championship game and just how much it means to Ryan Day. He came into this season, a lot of people had picked Ohio State to win the national championship. Will Howard told me at Manning Passing Academy, he was like, Mr. Mike, it is one thing. It is national championship or bust. Well, yes, now he's got a chance to erase that bust part and become the national champs for Ohio State. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the New Orleans Saints and the sports scene in New Orleans. Jeff Duncan from NOLA.com. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, thanks for having me on. Good to join you guys tonight.
Jeff, Monday's press conference, no surprise there. A lot of people putting out this about Mickey maybe retiring and everything else. And I talked to a few people that, Mike, that's not going to happen. Mickey Loomis is staying here with his football team. But I think the one thing that I think has to be said is that the team is in this situation. You can look at the salary cap as one thing, but my deal is it's all personnel decisions. You've not drafted very well in the draft since 2017. You've got a couple of free agent pickups that have worked, but you're not better inside along the defensive tackle position as you were a couple years back. You got aging players on the defensive side, the football. You still got work to be done along the offensive line. You still could use a stud receiver at wide receiver and also at tight end, and so much uncertainty at quarterback. This has come down to one thing for me. Personnel. You don't have enough of core good young players on this roster that are 27 years of age and younger.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Mike, because if you're going to have this kind of older roster, with veteran players that you're paying a lot of money to, you know, veteran guys like Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, then you're going to be top heavy in salary with those guys. You've got to have some young talent on the roster through the draft that's going to be on rookie contracts that kind of balances out the checkbook, if you will. What we've seen, a good example of that, and I've said this a lot recently, is what Tampa has done post-Tom Brady.
Yes.
I think they've managed the post-Tom Brady transition much better than the Saints have managed the post-Drew Brees transition. I mean, you look at their roster, Mike, they're very similar. They've got a lot of veteran guys, Levante David, Godwin, Evans, Vita Vea, Baker Mayfield, but then they've got a lot of good young talent. I mean, Bucky Irving, Zion McCollum, Yaya Diaby. I mean, there's guys there. If you're a Bucks fan, you feel pretty good. You've won four NFC South division titles in a row, and you've got some young players to build around, and the Saints have not had that same success. So I agree with you 100%.
The other thing, too, with Tampa, every draft choice that they've selected over the last 3 years has made the team but one. Think of that. Man, you don't think Jason Light's doing a hell of a job along with the staff around him to pick players and younger guys that you're building your core around. And I think that certainly has been a big key for the Falcons. Jeff, once, the coaching thing got to be obvious, just in the back of my mind, I always thought Aaron Glenn is the number one guy. If he wants this job, I think it's his. And I still believe that. If he wants it, it's his. Now, him having played for the Jets and known the organization, and that might not be a positive, knowing what's going on with the Jets and Woody Johnson, I've always sort of put him as the number one guy. Mike McCarthy getting cut loose, though. I think that was maybe something not many people thought would happen. They always thought maybe Jerry would do maybe a short-term deal with Mike and he would return for another season. I think Mike McCarthy and his agent took a look at this once Rabel went to New England and said, hey, we in the catbird seat here, and let's get out of this mess and let's go somewhere else where we can have much more control, because you got none in Dallas because of Jerry. And you got a situation now where Mike McCarthy is going to become a major player in the Saints sweepstakes.
Yeah, and I think he interviewed with the Bears this week. I know they're very high on him as well. You know, his reputation for developing quarterbacks in this league is, he's well-regarded in that area. Mike, I've always said this about Mike McCarthy, and I'm a little biased because, I knew Mike when he was here. He's much higher regarded in NFL circles and coaching circles than, say, the perception of fans. I mean, you talk to NFL people, they think highly. I know Sean Payton. I know Mickey Loomis think highly of Mike McCarthy. So I would think he would have a definite shot at this job. But I tend to agree with you. I think, Aaron Glenn is going to be hard to beat for that job, just because I think he's ready. He's a little older than people think. You know, he's in his 50s. I mean, people think he's this young pup, but he's earned his stripes. And the other thing I like about him is, and I've learned this from covering Sean Payton, I've really, learned to respect the Bill Parcells coaching tree, and that's Aaron Glenn. He played for Parcells, coached under his tree, coached under Sean, and then to Dan Campbell, who was a Parcells guy. And that formula, Mike, that those guys have under, that you learned under Bill Parcells, the tuna, it works. I don't care how modern the league gets, that tried and true formula works for winning, and I think that's a big feather in his cap.
Jeff, in doing shows across the country, you find out, because I think, when doing sports talk and we get texts and everything, a lot of times you become like a horse. You got blinders on. You don't see the outside world. And you can't believe some of the lousy jobs that are open today. Okay, you think about the Jets and the ownership there. What's happened with the Raiders now? They got a caveat now because Tom Brady has got involved. The Bears has been a mess all across the board. But it's always, the Saints are the worst job out there. Listen, I'm not going to agree with that one bit. When you look at Jacksonville and the Jets and the Raiders – and the Bears, now, a couple of those teams have young quarterbacks that I think that's a big advantage to have that in your back pocket. But also you got meddlesome owners. You've got a track record of revolving general managers, people in the personnel department here and there. I think sometimes we don't recognize that unless you're involved with it. And I get to be in that stage that you do shows in New York or Jacksonville or Las Vegas or in Chicago where they're like, man, you talk about a mess. We got it here. It's just not in New Orleans.
Yeah, no. I think Gail Benson as owner is widely viewed as one of the best owners to work for in the league. I think that the history of stability and the culture of continuity here in New Orleans is going to be very attractive to coaches. You know that, Mike. I mean, Coaches don't want to go somewhere where they're going to get cut loose in 2 years if they don't win. The loyalty factor in New Orleans, I think, is very strong. Sometimes people would say maybe too strong, but it's going to help attract quality candidates because you don't have that tempestuous, volatile owner that's just going to flip things over like we've seen in Carolina after a year or two. It's not a good look. And so I think in some ways, and look, I would say this, look at Minnesota, how, they hit on their head coach in O'Connell and they walked away from Kirk Cousins and had a plan, drafted McCarthy. They brought in a bridge quarterback in Darnold. Look how good a season they had with the right plan. If you get the right coach, and Sean Payton showed us all here, Look how bad that situation was that he came in 2005 and six. If you can win in that, you can win here. There's some salary cap and roster issues you got to clean up. But if you get the right head coach, you can flip this thing around pretty quickly.
Jeff, Clint Kubiak having a second, this time in-person interview with the Seattle Seahawks. I know the Cleveland Browns were also interested in him before they promoted in-house Tommy Rees. We had some people texting in and asking us about this kind of interview process with Kubiak and why, you know, he would leave the Saints OC job for kind of a lateral move, another vacant OC position in the NFL. And, you know, just listening to Mickey Loomis talk earlier this week at his end of season press conference, that with a new coaching staff coming in, they'll have free reign to kind of build, or a new head coach, they'll have free reign to kind of build their coaching staff with whoever they want to have. So, you know, Kubiak really isn't guaranteed a spot in New Orleans, and that's kind of why he's looking elsewhere, and it feels like the Seahawks are going to go get him pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that second interview is really key for him. And, yeah, it's the bird in the hand. You know, you take what you can get. I mean, he doesn't know if he's going to be a part of this process going forward because we don't know what the next head coach is going to want to do offensively. I mean, if they bring in, say, Joe Brady, I mean, he's going to run his offensive system, not the Kubiak system. And I think it speaks highly of Kubiak that a coach as well-regarded as Mike McDonald wants to talk to him a second time. I mean, that's a really good job out there. I think Mike McDonald did a really good job his first year. John Schneider, the GM, highly regarded in NFL circles. They had a very good, what I would consider a transition year in Seattle with a first-year head coach. So that's a good fit if Clint Kubiak can land there. And look, he did a good job this year under some extraordinary circumstances, juggling a lineup that was missing all kinds of key players with not very good depth. So I think in league circles, he's going to be, I think, regarded highly for his work this year, even though the numbers didn't add up. I mean, actually, you know, they ended up scoring fewer points and gaining less yards this year than they did the year before, you know, after they got rid of Pete Carmichael. But, I mean, that was probably a little had to do with the handicap he was dealing with.
Jeff, last question for you, because you've done this, and, you know, for me, it's pushing 40 years. But one of the things I see difference ownership-wise is we've got a new group of owners in the National Football League. Then, say, even 20 years ago or 10 years ago, you see the change. A lot of these owners today have made their money in a quicker manner than the owners of yesteryear. And so they have a quicker fuse. No patience. Can't spell it. And don't have it. They don't want nothing to talk about with anybody about patience. I want to win now. You know why? I became a billionaire because I made my money quickly. And I think we're in that change of pro sports, not only in the NFL, but across the board, if it's Major League Baseball, NBA, everything else. They look at money a different way than, say, guys of 20, 25 years ago. And they made it quicker. They got a lot more of it. And you know what? If you don't win, I'm going to find somebody that will do it for me. Because you know why? I did that in another business.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's just kind of true, Mike, of all society, right? Yeah. I mean, I know my guy Rick Pitino called it microwave society, right? I mean, you can cook something in the oven. It's going to take a lot longer. And you can whip it in the microwave in 2 or 3 minutes and get your meal. That's kind of where we're at. And I don't think it's just football coaches. I think it's kind of like that everywhere. You know, you got some fancy ab roller is going to give you good six-pack abs instead of having to do the old 50 sit-ups. Everything's trying to get things done quicker. And I agree with you. There's less patience. I think there's so much money involved in the NFL now. And look, I don't want to quote Mickey Loomis on comparing Dennis Allen to Chuck Knoll, but he did have a point in that, like, when Chuck Knoll started with the Steelers back in the late 60s and early 70s, I mean, he was 1-13, 5-9, you know, 6-8. He was given a long leash before he turned that thing around. I don't know if you'd get by with that today, with the way these owners are today.
No, the other thing, too, is they didn't have free agency back then. And I think owners see, man, how did the Commanders change that around in 1 year? How did the Texans do that in a year? They say, wait a minute, we got the personnel. You telling me that. So you the problem, not me. And I think it's a much quicker fix because of free agency than, say, in the days of Chuck or, say, Bill Walsh. Those guys, or Tom Landry, when they came into the league, they didn't have that. It was basically draft. That's how you're going to do it. So, man, it's hard to compare yesteryears, to be honest.
No, I know. Well, it helps this year to have a Jaden Daniels to turn that thing around.
Yeah,
right, Mike?
I wish. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Have a great week.
All righty. Jeff Duncan does a great job covering the Saints, NOLA.com.